Call order the September 11th, 2025 Facility Standards Manual Public Review Committee meeting. No members are participating remotely. Any members disclose that they are members of one or more affected groups and their respective declaration of interest are kept on file in the minutes of the Facility Standards Manual Public Review Committee. Hopefully you all got an email from Laura with our agenda and the minutes from our last meeting, which was only a week ago. Laura, you said there were some suggestions for some edits to the minutes.
Show you. So just one spot. It was down here under the floodplain, beginning of the floodplain discussion, where basically Jason talked about some of the confusion and said that a special exception is required for active recreation with a proposed rise or boundary change. I believe that's the only thing he cited, but it was commented that there are also additional criteria that you must exceed. I was kind of specific here, a percent impervious development criteria, or must meet, maybe is the way to say it, that meet. So I think the challenge is, do we capture what people say, or do we add like what the standard actually says every time? And I don't normally do that, but if the group feels it's important here, we can add that, friends. That wasn't like an emphasis point made. But it's a true fact that there's additional criteria pertaining to the percent impervious. Like slipped in that, because that is the development criteria.
Yeah, like the design grabbed. I don't know if it was like a point of conversation.
That's the thing. I think Jason's point was that anytime you have a rise or a boundary change, you need specs. But this is also true. So I kind of need guidance about how you all want your minutes.
I think if there's factual information that helps provide clarity, it's a problem with that.
You noted as a fact change, and here's what was said, and the correction.
We actually friends, hoping that would sort of note that it's like.
Maybe could you just say like note
or correction or something?
Yeah.
I think note. Is there anything wrong with saying note?
Put note in.
Colon.
And
then
so,
describe it.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, it's
I'm sorry. Your
screen behind you is not working well.
I know it isn't. It was.
Paint's head in the line.
I asked for the in this room, so they don't want to fix it right now. And yeah, and I still have the room. Percent impervious development criteria. I know we've not had this before, so it's uncharted territory.
My leaning would be, I'm not sure what it really adds to the minute. I wouldn't put it in there, but I heard both.
I'm not looking to the minutes for technical criteria.
Right. So we could wind up having all kinds of and some clauses or appropriate references to the codes and standards. And I think that's what we're doing.
I don't have strong feelings about it.
That's my feeling. Brandon, how do you feel about that?
Good. I'm with you then. Okay. Set yourself up for more work for him.
I'm just aiming to please. However you want it, that's how it shall be. I wasn't inclined to put it in just because we don't normally do that, but then I thought, well, I'd ask. So if we don't want this change, I can just reject it. And then we're just back to the regular minutes, unless there are other changes.
I don't know how critical it is to know when we started the meeting, but we didn't start on that.
So I typically give myself like within 5 minutes.
Okay, we're good.
If you think we started with it before 3:05,
I have no idea. Just need to
start. But if we're after 3:05, I usually say it. Same with like the ending of the meeting.
Okay, it's joking.
5 is like 5 to 5:04.
We're good.
That's very challenging. Keep me on my toes. We just need a motion, right?
Yeah.
Their motion to approve the minutes. Thank you, Derek.
Second.
Matt, thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Good. Going to try to punch through the remaining chapter eight. Edits to the floodplain. Just turn it over to whoever wants to lead that conversation.
Did you send those edits out last time?
These were the original. Yeah, we didn't send a new draft out. Just continuing basically on with the second draft. So where we were was in 8104, which is floodplain study. And we were discussing whether or not under items to accompany floodplain studies, we would want to see a draft property owner notification. So that staff, I guess, could make sure it meets a template per se, or it has the correct information before it was issued. Because the issue was there was going to be confusion that there might be two notification letters, one before the FEMA approval, one after. So we just want to circle back to this to see. Staff suggested this, that they would be willing to put this in here.
With the initial submittal?
This is the, yeah, this is with the items to accompany.
This is for the floodplain study and not a floodplain alteration?
This is in the study. Yeah, we're in the study right now.
So why do we have to notify the adjacent owners? We're having an engineer do something in fact.
So if they're aware of the changes that are happening on their property?
It's not changes. All the engineer's doing is documenting the natural floodplain.
That is.
Floodplain alteration then changes the characteristics, which would require notification. I don't understand why you're requiring notification of to an adjacent owner that somebody did a floodplain study.
So the study is not changing it due to development, but it can change it due to better information. So you can have it is not, you're correct, it's a statement of fact, but that fact changes. So a lot of, like Western Lavin was studied in the 70s, and if you were to study it today, you would see it change just because of the conditions, the inputs, things like that. So it's to give the property owner a heads up that better information is available and the floodplain that they are seeing on WebLogis is going to be changed or updated.
Would you perhaps only require that if there was a change? It's possible you could do the study and there's not a change to adjoining property.
That is correct, yeah. It could be part of the
change. Well, if you want to stir a pot that doesn't need to be stirred.
Yeah, we can add a caveat that it's for.
There you go. Does it?
The floodplain study results in any change.
Not with that draft notification, does
it? So that's the documentation of property.
Well, that's what's required prior to approval. What I'm saying is 10 years.
The notification that they're providing a draft. You all are providing a draft of this at B.
Right.
So you know not to provide it if there's no change per B. Unless we want to restate that whole thing again, if there's no change.
Saying in the first submission, you're going to know when you are having an impact or change in boundary on offsite. And there it doesn't, the study doesn't indicate it. Why would we even submit a letter for you?
You just say it's applicable or something like that.
Yeah.
Everything's applicable, guys. Apple office, steep slopes, if applicable. And the other, if applicable, I don't think you need it. You would only need to do it if it's required by 2B below.
If I submit and I don't have it, and I'm going to get a comment back or I get rejected because I didn't include a letter that wasn't needed.
There's a 98% chance you get a comment. Or you get rejected.
You submit,
Yeah.
I would say more so this whole thing is impactful.
Okay. Do you want to say draft offsite property owner?
Yeah. Is it offsite property owner notification,
Maggie? Honestly, I would prefer to keep it property owner notification because litigating who's offsite and who's onsite is already a headache as is. And so, you know, we can figure it out as part of the application process. So I think it would just be easier if we left it as property owner notification.
Well, I guess the question is, that little part right there, the second line, changes to the boundaries of the off-site floodplain, would that matter? Instead of saying draft off-site property owner notifications, just saying if the floodplain study results in any changes to the base flood elevation or change to the boundary of the off-site floodplain.
We run into issues because of county project.
Yeah. So this isn't just for developers, it's also to the county. Like the county would also be required to send out notifications and they don't have off-site. So this is a way of capturing.
What do you mean they don't have off-site?
They're notifying, it's a whole thing with them. Yeah.
It would be, yeah. So they don't have, because they're working like within VDOT right of way, so it's not like, property.
Yes, then who would they even notify?
I mean, they would, like, the study impacts properties.
Oh.
So it would be whoever is impacted.
Like, so basically adjacent parcels?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But they said that's not off-site, so.
Okay.
Better for us to leave it like this.
What about it to then say adjacent parcels?
I think this gets to the, if it's changes to some notification.
Yeah, if you're changing a property and they don't sign the LDA. Go ahead and sign.
Could you rephrase that in a way so it like just creates a list and then explains it? Let everything kind of follows that same format as previous. Maybe go up. Are they just like the list?
It's three other things that are required with initial sign.
Yeah.
The draft property notification first.
Yeah.
That's what you started with.
Oh.
She put it around. I mean, it could be as simple as you guys create a template, you just print the template, go through submission, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
So we do with the smaller management.
I mean, so I think our goal would be to have a template, but right now we do not. And so instead of putting, you know, submit the template, like eventually we will have one probably. I think that's our goal, make it easier. So yes, to your point, you would then just print out and submit the template. I mean, the draft.
You can't get rid of that comment, can you?
The draft conversation came up because there was some concern about creating unnecessary like chaos with the language and the document and things like that. So
I just present agree to that.
Yeah. So it'd just be for us to check that, you know, the correct information will be sent out.
I'm comfortable with that. What's next?
Okay, this is what's next. There's no data. As we did discuss the notification list.
Yeah, I think we're out through B function.
So then we'd be at C. Items to be submitted to FEMA.
When they count, if we didn't do it in 6 months, then what would you guys do?
So I think we can hold bond release for it. I mean, we don't have, I guess technically it would become a zoning violation. That is the recourse we would take is, I mean, we would obviously work with applicants, but that would be the, I think it's in the zoning ordinance that it has to be, you have to submit to FEMA. And so it would be a.
For C, could you also rephrase it for formatting and list letter of map revision, parentheses lower, and then describe as soon as possible within 6 months so that you're not having to read the whole paragraph, that if you should know the list, the checklist, and then the details follow the checklist.
And as soon as possible necessary.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, yeah, well, because ideally, it would be submitted to FEMA as soon as it's approved by the county. So, I mean.
So a letter of map revision submitted within, shall be submitted within 6 months of the approval. Boom. Very explicit.
Do you say to a certain site should be? I mean, I guess it doesn't. So that's the language that we use, but I don't think, we don't have to stick exactly to that in this if we don't want. So that's where it came from, is that's BMA's language, is with as soon as possible or within soon. So, yeah, I think it could just say 6 months. Yeah.
Results.
Yeah.
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 Just believe it.
Well, I mean, I leave that to the group. I don't have a problem with it.
Just think, as soon as possible was a little odd, nebulous language for the FSM.
You're good.
Betsy, I got you all the way up here. But you can sit wherever you want. Okay, so that's right. Letter of revision.
The only thing is you left them the shall. Is that critical?
Yeah, it's just actually out
me. Yeah, shall be, it's the county attorney.
Snags.
Yeah, and floodplain alteration.
Looking like that.
Yellow or changes up for anything with that, but don't have that we're processing now. All pretty much the same.
We normally reference the specific zoning section in our.
We tend to do it in floodplain, but not in other sections.
But try to avoid that as much as possible for one revised.
So we don't have to go back later and change the number.
I'm looking at all of your scroll down. Do you have that reference in there still, or did it get removed?
Which one are you at?
First, it was the last bullet under C. Oh, yeah, it looks like it got removed. There's just been so many versions of this.
The document submitted at the last thing right before floodplain alteration.
Yeah, go down more.
Yeah, 6.05H of the ordinance.
Oh, he went down to a different spot.
Yeah, it was above and we didn't comment on it. So I just, it was right here. Yeah.
Well, I had my notes to comment on it. We just trying to keep up with your speed.
You want to be in accordance with the zoning ordinance?
Staff's okay with that.
Accordance with zoning ordinance. Okay. Back to here. I didn't see it in here yet. I don't feel like we got to that part yet. We went through A here in operation, and here's B. Items to accompany. I guess we're putting that draft in again, the draft letter, the draft notification text. Same thing. I'm going to go grab it.
Yes.
Did you copy it?
I did that. I think we might have reversed it. I thought we might have got some more texted if we did it. Exactly the way we left it.
I'm going to change and say floodplain alteration change.
Now this is going to be B. It's going to spell. Okay. Plan study results of any change.
Is it alteration? Alteration.
Oh, I see it. Alteration. Gotcha. Alteration. Okay, so 2A is what Phil wanted me to bring up. He couldn't be with us today, but he wanted me to raise this one. Share his email. Make it as big as I can. I'll read it. What he's saying is, my comment is on proposed 8105B2A regarding documentation of all necessary federal and state permits related to development have been obtained. My concern is that this language is too broad. Many of these permits would not impact floodplain work. Furthermore, the required approval steps could prohibit the permits from being obtained prior to floodplain alteration approval. For example, 5.442 states that floodplain alteration shall be approved prior to approval of the associated construction plans and profiles or site plan application. State that the stormwater permit cannot be obtained until you have a CPAP or site plan approval. As a result, you cannot get state VIPDES permits until floodplain alteration is approved. This is one example. There are additional conflicts that come into play with dealing with VDOT, who will often hold off approvals for permits until obtaining county approvals first. And it's my understanding from staff that this is a current text and is required by FEMA.
So it is, I mean, we can take the language out of the FSM, but it is in the zoning ordinance and not the revised zoning ordinance, but the current 2023 zoning ordinance. It is also in a direct quote from the CFR. So it has to stay in the zoning ordinance, which means it will be something that we check on plan sets. This committee made a comment about wanting to make sure that things that are needed on like the plans are in the FSM.
Right.
So that is what we are doing here. So removing it from the FSM will not remove the requirement. It'll just remove it from this document. We'll still be asking for it or checking for it.
Can you go back to Bill's email? Zoom in for the people who are blind. Could you zoom in?
But then it's off the page. It's the front. I can't really, because then it's going to be like, I'm going to scroll left, right, and left, right, and left, right.
Wait.
He's worried about BSMP permits.
Stand up.
Okay. I'm just having fun. I already making up the disruption.
What is that? I mean, does this happen often that this is an issue?
I don't know if we've ever.
Okay.
Have we ever made a comment asking for the permits? I think it's something that, like, if it's not with the E plan, like, but with the study and the alteration, we don't typically comment on it.
The alteration section, right?
Yeah,
correct.
What would be deemed, what would you expect here? Like, are we talking about like wetland permits? Are we talking about, like, you don't need a wetland permit, so you're grading.
If a drawing the permit is from Army Corps of Engineer and the state DEQ that have drawn the permit normally for the stream restoration and or you are changed the stream line. So normally be asking this permit.
Yeah, for like stream restorations or if you're altering the stream channel, might ask, make sure your DEQ confirms on that.
Wouldn't that be kind of governed by your construction development plan, your grading permit?
Yeah, the grading permit.
It wouldn't be checked. It wouldn't be, I don't think that it necessarily needs to be done as part of the operation.
You know, at least we would check for it at the.
Yeah, weather impact. Why did you need that approved to get your alteration approved?
So the keyword in here is necessary. So to your point, like, why would you need that for your alteration to be approved? So that's kind of, and we don't typically look for or ask for these permits with the alteration. We, you know, they're checked for with the E plan, and that's where we kind of, or, you know, the grading plan or whatever, and that's where that's captured. So we don't see them necessarily as necessary for our approval, but they might be captured in other applications, and they, for those, they would be necessary. So that's kind of the keyword that we look at. Like, maybe there's something that we might need for a stream restoration in or the streams altering, and we might ask for it then, but like, if it's not necessary, for us, we might ask for it.
So you mean necessary, like necessary to essentially close the floodplain alteration?
Yeah.
Yeah, because historically you've never required the VSMP permit be approved prior to your approval, so that's not going to be a new policy.
Yeah, we have to, I mean, there are certain permits that are obviously necessary as part of these applications, right? But we have to work within our approval hierarchy and system. So we try and do that. Like, we're not going to pull up your alteration if you are going to get it later as a result of another plan. Like, we have, this is FEMA language, and obviously all localities do things differently. So we just have to work within that. At some point, we, if FEMA asks, we have to be able to prove that if you altered the floodplain, you got all the appropriate permits.
We say all permits related to the floodplain alteration that been approved instead of the development.
Yeah. So you can do that. It doesn't change the zoning ordinance requirement, and the language in the zoning ordinance would stay the same.
So you're not, we couldn't, because we're in the middle of updating the language still, right?
So I don't think it could get changed in the zoning ordinance either, because it is verbatim.
Well, the definition in the floodplain ordinance for development is specific to development in the floodplain. That's what's confusing, because the FSM section discusses all development. So if there's a way to caveat that just says related to the floodplain development, so that you can differentiate between chapter five earlier development is the entire LFB.
So that makes sense. So we have a different definition. So yeah, you could caveat it with, yeah, floodplain development.
So related to the floodplain development has been obtained. So that, I mean, I don't think that's going to contradict your floodplain zoning ordinance section, because you have a definition there.
Yes.
You don't have a definition.
And I agree with what you're saying, is this does need to be caveat because we don't have a separate definition. So I think that is appropriate.
And to that same thing, in that same section, prior to approval of the floodplain alteration in the ordinance, we haven't been calling them alterations. We've just been calling them floodplain development. So if we're, I would just be consistent with the language there as well. For like same section, but D.
Some section is floodplain alteration.
I mean, well, that's the study, but the actual
no, work, this is the alteration.
Right. Okay, but there's the alteration study, and then the work being done in the floodplain alteration is being called floodplain development in the ordinance. So, like, prior to approval of a floodplain alteration that proposes any increase, the question is, for D, do you say prior to the approval of a floodplain of floodplain development that proposes any increase?
I think you would say alteration here because I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think you'd say alteration here because we're talking about the application in this case.
Okay.
Like, we are like, it falls under the application, but I know what you're saying. We do try and use the phrase, like, for clarity in the ordinance, we use development, but this is the actually,
yeah. Would it help to then add the word application to it?
We're at approved stage then.
It says related to floodplain operation.
I would go back to keeping it as development so that you, because what helps is it's called development in the ordinance, but there is a actual definition for development in the floodplain section. Whereas here, keeping the same language, you're basically just putting it in, like adding that definition to, like, making that a more defined version of it without having to go and put in parentheses, like, what the definition of development is in this specific section.
I think in A, development is the right word. And I think in the other sections that you have, so you've got, like, approval, like, and D, it's approval, prior approval of floodplain development, I think that, or floodplain alteration, I think that stays alteration.
Okay.
Because they're talking about the
actual application.
Yeah.
So we're, like, when I read this and in the FSM and I see the word alteration or floodplain alteration, I think of that as being, you could put application in there instead. Like, it could just say prior to application approval.
Right.
You're talking about the application itself.
So the only thing that I would raise here is if this is going to cause any kind of problems with, I mean, should we say, shall have been obtained or will be obtained prior to grading or something. I mean, I just feel like we don't really require a wetland permit at this stage. It's a conflict with our FSM. So this is a direct conflict, and this is not something you're actually going to do. You're not physically saying, give me that wetland permit.
But the public.
But that's because they're not necessary, not necessary.
No, it's a different, is there is not only wetland permit, there is several permit.
Like in.
For example, no, I just say it's a floodplain, for example, the levy. You got the levy, some project they decide we put a levy here. If you set the levy here, you have to get the Army Corps engineer the permit. If you say this is a retaining wall, we don't need. So they have to, the private sector has to judge is a retaining wall or levy, what is your purpose there? So if you got the levy, and you have to get the Army Corps.
But how could we get a levy permit if we don't? When did the sign the MT2 form to submit a permit for that? When are you going to get to that?
That is that you have to ask in the Army Corps engineer, because they have to review the and all the levy requirement.
Are you doing levies?
But to the
point of like the CFR is for all of the US, right? So different.
I'm really impressed by how that got. Oh, yeah. Real complicated, real quick.
I would not encourage that. That would be really intense. Especially if they wanted it to be like a certified.
So if it's the floodplain alteration as an application, then should we capitalize floodplain alteration under D?
I haven't been capitalized floodplain alteration anywhere.
But that's because we were describing the development. Now when it's the actual application, like the header, like when we do construction plan and profiles, don't we capitalize construction? Like C and then P and A and P. Kind of like letter map revision is a application. We capitalize those things.
Let's see up here. We say floodplain alteration application.
Okay, so then below it, then for D, I would then just add application as well.
Yeah.
Just to be consistent so that they know, you know, one's a adjective and one is a noun.
Because this is under the heading floodplain alteration application. I don't think you need to say application every time.
I mean, I think you do, because the confusion was, is you're going to have the actual description of the way it used to be called, which was any work in the floodplain was called an alteration. Now we're changing the term to any work being done in the floodplain that is an alteration is not going to be called floodplain development. And it was just going to help separate old versus new vocabulary. Like D.
I just think it's going to cause a lot of confusion. But we don't have floodplain developed defined in FSM, so I'm not too concerned about that term. You can get that term from the zoning ordinance and then come over here, and this is what you need for your components of your floodplain application.
And I mean, so we're extrapolating on that. Is your floodplain alteration application causing the change, or is the floodplain alteration is causing the change?
You have a floodplain.
What you're saying is different. I'm trying to understand what the difference is.
Well, so the application is the paperwork.
And that
the actual disturbance to the floodplain is called floodplain development now.
And in that case, then you should say floodplain development everywhere.
Right. And then that's what I'm trying to say, since we're shifting that, the zoning ordinance changed that. Mm-hmm. The terminology. So then I would say consistent wise, we should also change it here. Or where we're talking about the actual application so that it's not being confused for the old language, just say floodplain alteration application so that they know that you're not talking about. So prior to the approval of the floodplain alteration application.
So I don't know if this helps. Again, but in the zoning ordinance, I mean, how we like, so in this one section, it's submit to FEMA or require applicants to submit to FEMA data and information necessary to maintain the flood maps, including floodplain studies and floodplain alterations approved in accordance with facility standards manual.
Right.
So we call out the application type.
Yeah, we'd have to go back. CPAP would have to say something about identified company is CPAP application.
Right. I guess I'm just going back to how zoning ordinance changed floodplain alteration, and then I changed it to say floodplain development. Just any. The actual physical work that we're doing, not the application, we should just be consistent in calling any of the land disturbance in the floodplain, just start referring to, referring it as floodplain development. Any floodplain development, instead of saying any floodplain alteration, so that the term floodplain alteration is only associated with the title application.
That's fine, please.
Yeah, I can't correct.
I can't figure where we are. Are we doing item for the company?
We're doing an ordinance, or two.
Federal permits related to the floodplain development.
And see, we still have floodplain study and see.
So like Megan, you're saying like where Laura's writing now, you would say floodplain development creates a change of boundary.
Yes.
Instead of floodplain alteration.
Right, because I mean, if we're moving away from that in the ordinance, I was just saying for consistency, because the amount of times that like I hear disconnects with the people who aren't intimately doing this stuff, and then you have to explain, no, I'm talking about this, not this. Like it just, I see disconnects already.
Yeah, so.
What's it say in the zoning ordinance under the draft?
Obviously.
Property owner notification. Does it say development?
I think my understanding is that floodplain development is include floodplain study and the floodplain alteration. That is a development that is a, during the hydrology approval, different the rainfall data and the soil change, and also everything that is a top.
No, there's two bullets. The first bullet is the floodplain study, which is its own bullet, and I don't call it that. And then the second bullet, which used to be called floodplain alteration, has been changed to say floodplain development. And then it says any proposed development and the floodplain required to be an approval of technical data in accordance with chapter 5. And then it goes on and starts listening about quomars, which is not at all about the studies, just strictly about the FPAL. So the FPAL, the old FPST analysis, is under bullet 1. Under bullet 2, we're just now calling it floodplain development instead of floodplain alteration. I mean, that's just like, you know, we're just coming up with a new title for it.
So I think it's the floodplain development, you know, the physical work hasn't happened yet. It's the alteration that was submitted that changes that boundary based on the work that's going to happen. Whereas in D, it says proposes. So if you had in C, floodplain alteration that proposes any change to the base flood elevation, does that meet what you're saying? It's the application that's proposing the change.
Can you say that again? I stare at it without it moving so I can follow your train of thought.
Documentation of property owner notification. If the floodplain alteration proposes any change in the base flood elevation and or change in the boundaries of the floodplain, provide copies of individual notifications.
Okay. And then you were saying something about D?
So D uses that language where it says the floodplain alteration that proposes any increase. So it's the application that's proposing the change, and you're saying it's the development that actually makes the change.
Just using consistent with these, putting proposes and see.
Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the term floodplain alteration is a application, and any work being done that alters a floodplain is no longer being called an alteration. It's being called development in the floodplain. Any development in the floodplain is just, they just renamed it. So I was just saying, be consistent with that. Like when you're talking about the actual adjective of doing the old, like the physical changing of the line, that is floodplain development. The actual application is called floodplain alteration.
It's too confusing though, because this whole thing is floodplain, everything is referencing the application here.
Right, and that's what I'm saying, when you're talking about the actual work, like the disturbance, referred to as floodplain development.
I would say that here is talking about the actual work though.
Yeah, I think this is the application, all of this is reference to the application, right?
Yes.
Except for the one you already changed on top, right?
Right, that had to do with the development itself.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rest of them would be good, besides that one, yeah.
Let's call a vote on this. All of them. I mean, can we pause, is everybody okay with the existing text? Okay.
He might still back it out. Look at that, go all the way to where it says alteration, yeah.
So it's gone.
So embarrassing after everything.
Okay.
Just in case.
My ultimate. Okay, so now.
Application to an application.
I tried my best to work on D. I don't know if I got it right, because we wanted to put conditional letter of map revision up front. I added the shall be submitted to FEMA in accordance with the zoning ordinance, that's consistent with the study, prior to approval. Is that right? It is shall be submitted to FEMA, okay, full mark, shall be submitted to FEMA.
So it's not just that it, I mean, that is correct, but it also has to be, it's not approved, that FEMA, it's.
Yeah, FEMA doesn't use the word approved, they say issued.
So it has to be issued, we have to get FEMA's issuance on it before we approve the alteration.
I was just trying to get the part of there, issued by FEMA?
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't get it exactly right, but the rest of it's okay.
Yeah. Maggie, were you saying that any word that says floodplain alteration is interchangeable with application, very first line, should we update that? So that not the application for the application shall include the following.
Oh, getting further up?
Yeah. So we're saying floodplain alteration is, can you be used interchangeably with that? To change that to say floodplain development. If that could be, change that to development.
I think this is application requirements and this is the floodplain alteration application. So we don't have a floodplain development application work class in Landmark. We don't. So these are just, think of these as that just application requirements. This isn't speaking to what use or development you can do in the floodplain, the types of uses, that's all of the zoning ordinance. And I think we start saying development of the floodplain, we're almost like usurping authority from the zoning ordinance because that speaks to what types of development are allowed. I really don't want an FSM be saying anything about development. I just want to be talking about the application you submit for your development in the floodplain.
Yeah, I think your point, like, could we just say the floodplain alteration shown with the following?
Yeah.
Since that's the application, we don't say the application.
I think that's what we do everywhere else.
Yeah, I think that was what I was trying to figure out. Is that what we say? Do we say, like, the application for a construction plan?
I think so.
Okay. I think it's consistent with, so technically they all say an application for an application.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to
look it up now. I can get it open, but.
Let me say what I think you're saying.
I
mean,
another way. You need to delete that DAL and the header and footers.
I deleted it in the header. I'll catch it in the footer.
Chapter 8, right? Mom?
Yeah. And footer. Making some notes. Let me just get into. I'm not sharing my screen. Am I? Sorry. I'll get there and then I'll share. Chapter 8.
Yeah, I mean, like, this says the application for a family subdivision shall also include the following. The application type is.
They're all different. I mean, CPAC.
Yeah, they all kind of say the same thing differently, so I guess we could.
Yeah, I mean, CPAC specifically says the construction plans and programs shall be prepared. It doesn't say an application for the construction plans and profiles. So, like, to Angela's point, just say the floodplain alteration shall include blah, blah, blah.
I support that. If you want to make the change, we'd also have to do it this thing. I think the study says.
The floodplain alteration?
Yes.
I'm going to get pinged on this by Jason.
We'll just talk about it again.
We don't want to talk about it again. I don't think that this is an application.
What is the front?
I don't think we're doing this. So it wasn't there before, but Jason talked about this. Okay, but then look at chapter 8106, where we don't have an application or a construction plan profile spelled out the same way we're saying here. So we have examples in that SSN that we do it.
Staff is okay with the proposed changes if the committee is would like to make.
How about I check with the county attorney's office?
Yeah. That's fine too.
My opinion is the nuance, it doesn't make a difference, but
I would agree.
I agree.
I mean, then in that case, county attorney maybe is okay with it. It doesn't make a difference.
So you just wanted to say a floodplain study shall include the following?
Correct.
Place where she's something. Make some changes.
That is the end.
That's study. Sorry. Here's the last piece of it, our alteration. Go with that.
Is this the would the LMR be submitted post development though? You're developing in the floodplain, you're going to as build into the LMR.
Yeah. The LMR is for as built condition. That would be once the
Why this be a
project is completed.
Why are we striking out LMRs?
So we moved that
That's
up.
Moved up.
It's oh, okay. Moved.
Yeah, I mean, that is existing language, so we can revise that to make it.
So it's what to be submitted to me.
Right, but it's not technically.
How do you get an approval from the county after you get your CLOMAR? Like, the order of events is really confusing when you move it up.
Get county approval, then you go get your CLOMAR, and then you come back to the county, right? Then you can go work, and then you're.
No, the CLOMAR goes, so the final comment that we issue on our FL is you need to get a CLOMAR. And okay. To satisfy that final comment, you provide us with the issued CLOMAR, and then we approve the application.
Okay.
Then you
so you're doing it. Yeah, you're
right. Develop it, and then you go, and once you've developed it, you go do your as-built prior to bond release.
But as we get structure.
And then you submit your LMAR.
It is, yeah, LMARs are... I think that's correct, right? LMRs are as built. Yeah, so it has to be built in order for you to.
Do we want to just get rid of C and move that up to make it E and just say, you know, applicant will submit a LMR post construction?
It doesn't fit under because this is prior to approval.
That
doesn't work.
Maybe change But three.
Then you know, say other documents need to be submitted.
So before you submit your quote monarchs, you want the traffic notification.
He only has one thing, so it doesn't have to be a headline. We can get rid of the subhead. Just be right there, and you can just say what you want in here and see. Just say.
Under a map provision,
I mean, I personally like seeing C, because then you can just kind of go back and work between.
She's keeping the C.
I wasn't going to keep the C, because we had C with just one thing under it. Why do we need this?
But it's like a step. It's just the upon approval of.
That's why.
I mean, it's the same way you have C in the floodplain study too. It just says items you submit to FEMA. It just kind of breaks it out as its own topic.
But we have to submit a quote mark.
Well, before we get lost in the formatting, should we finish talking about like the process of the notifications, the actual?
Yeah, I just would say it's really like, you said prior to plan alteration, that you could say like prior to bond release or something, do a low mark,
It's constructed.
Instead of C, maybe it's three, sort of says this is what you do at the end.
I don't think we need a subhead. We can just say it's required for prior bond release.
Then you would take that text and do it a lot more visibly. We can rework that a little bit.
A titles it as plan requirements, B titles it as floodplain alteration application, C can you just title it as low mark?
I was going to say three, it's going to be going like it.
Yeah, sorry.
C.
Which one would that fall under then? Would you know, letter?
Three is under letter B. Oh, that's items to accompany. It doesn't work.
Because I thought that was
Are we good with the language? So the word conforming. Language is good, yes.
So it depends if we're going to have a heading to it or not. I think you should have the Lomar mentioned in the very beginning and then say upon approval. All right, so we have zoning ordinance language, if that will help. So the zoning ordinance says the applicant must submit a Lomar FEMA within 6 months after completion of construction or prior to bond release for the associated application and development, whichever is sooner. Would you like that?
Yes.
Laura, would you like me to send that?
Yes. Staring at that over
there. That makes sense, right? Because you're not going to do the whole part of your building.
Yeah. So that's still C. It's not part of B.
Right. That would be C, because B was for the application.
And then just my only request would be to have like a heading on it that just says Lomar, so that you know like A is about plan requirements, B is about things to submit for the application, and then C is when you do the Lomar. Because there are like different steps along the way. Just send it to you.
You email it?
I sent it.
The Lomar, not the Lomar. I feel like I'm not.
Okay.
So
just leave it, just
Beam up.
Just put a period after a letter of approbation and just say the app.
It's a same.
Starting sentence, say the applicant.
It's blah.
Just met it.
It becomes always a thing. I feel the always a chair. That all the ten may even go to art and go to.
On an alteration.
Beam up, create a food, so they have.
On an alteration, with a couple more process, do changes happen?
They are.
Like with your FEMA work?
Then.
You mean by change?
Okay.
Like originally the studies, you submit to FEMA, is that FEMA?
That's why.
Yeah, because it's still lower.
That's why an alteration is not approved until you get the.
Yeah, because sometimes GMO will come back and ask for something different.
Has to do the plot plan.
It may or may not impact the application, but yes, sometimes GMO does come back.
Or I feel.
That require changes.
So the FLOMAR is like when it's issued, and that's, that gives you final alteration approval. There's a possibility we could give you files, submit the FLOMAR, and then you can file again.
There, yeah, if there are changes, we might, but we might still approve it, like we would do a review and it still may be approvable, like just because FEMA has made changes doesn't mean that we're gonna like then go back.
So if that makes sense. To understand the new process, we submit a plan alteration to you. Prove the draft notifications, we send that notifications out to people. Then we can go and submit a FLOMAR.
So based on how this is phrased, you do not have to send out the notifications until you want approval of your application. So you could wait until after your FLOMAR is issued, like there's no timeline for when you have to submit those or send out the notifications. It's just if you want your application approved, you need to send out the note. You need to provide us with documentation that you sent out your notifications.
Okay.
So you could get the FLOMAR issued and then send out your notifications after that and then give us all of that information. Like you could have two final comments, send out your notifications or, you know, provide certification, you send out your notifications and get a FLOMAR.
Okay, so the due process still requires a notification. So in this opportunity, we could consolidate and just wait to submit the notifications. So like once FEMA approves the terminology, so you would get draft of something and then FEMA would edit that draft. And then that's just one letter instead of previous studies where it's two separate letters. This is just the one letter. Then when we're done, it's just one letter, and then you go through the LOMAR process. And then in that situation, there's two letters because the LOMAR is a. With a LOMAR, the ASBIL, do we do a floodplain study? No, no, we don't. We just do a LOMAR. We don't have to do the.
And yeah, there's a LOMAR. Yeah.
Do you guys review the LOMAR?
We have to get the LOMAR application so that we sign off on the MTGO. So yes, we do review LOMAR.
So is it a application with a fee?
No, it comes through as part of the alteration or the study.
And then in that situation, there is no county notification. You would just do your standard FEMA LOMAR notification at that point, and then you're done. So really, you only notified twice.
Okay. That's a question for like the bigger picture here, entire process. Like, so you have your FP or your alteration. Sometimes this goes concurrently to like a CPAP or something, and they go side by side. Essentially, most your CPAP usually gets conditional approval pending your alteration approval. Thought the process was you could get your alteration approved and then submit to FEMA and still get your CPAP approved. But I guess you can't get your CPAP approved until you have your FEMA.
For the conditional letter. So if your development is proposing a rise, that is the only time that you have to go get a conditional letter of map provision. So if you are proposing to like a bridge, right? If your development is a bridge, usually that has a rise associated with it. So before you can get your alteration and your CPAP approved, you have to get your conditional letter approved or issued by FEMA.
You don't have to do a FLOMAR for the change of boundary?
It is just a rise.
So then what do you show for major floodplain when your boundary changes and the elevations stay the same? We submit it as a
like if I'm doing a bridge crossing and I'm not having a rise, it goes in as a floodplain alteration. And then does it go in as a LOMAR to FEMA?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but LOMAR is only for a rise. So everything else just goes alteration LOMAR. If there's a rise, it goes alteration LOMAR, LOMAR.
Okay.
But anyway, it's like 0.01. To do whatever you have an answer, you're floodplain, you're doing it well.
Right. Well, and sometimes you grading, like you do some kind of grading on the fringe or, you know.
Material impact is really called, you know, you're crossing the floodplain.
Yeah.
Park this for now. That's more stuff.
Well, in general, I don't think we're allowed to make opportunities for rises anyway, so that situation will come up too much.
That's right.
Yeah, it's mostly crossing. Okay. I better allow the master plan.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to, through a floodplain alteration, change the floodplain on someone else's property?
You have, so for an alteration, no.
Unless you have fees.
Unless you get.
They'd have to be a part of that.
They'd have to be a part of the application.
Steady, yes.
So. There has to be, they have to, you know, consent to the changes.
Yeah.
But yes, technically, if they are part of the application and they sign the LBA, then we consider that as part of the project.
So why is the notification necessary?
We were talking about, like, it's not just, like, there are other projects, so, like, a road project, you would need to have, like, a bridge going across, you would create the rise, and yes, they would get, so we...
I feel like these are, like, plus, like, 90% of the county projects, most individual developments.
Yeah, it applies a lot to county projects.
When you go through the FEMA process, you're doing the notification.
Bullet two is now C.
Okay, sorry. The section where we're talking about has to be required prior to alteration approval.
Okay, that's up here.
Okay, yeah, I
can. It's a flow mark.
If you have an increase.
Yeah, if you have an increase.
Right. So that's caveated. So if you don't have an increase, it doesn't apply. And then it only, let's just, I want to run through this scenario. You do an all straight fan for the major, you don't have a rise.
No, I'm just hearing something.
The documentation, of your property owner notification, how does that work? In that situation, because you have an alteration.
Same thing.
Especially for you, honey. Yeah. So with no rise situations, but you're altering the floodplain, altering the major.
So if you get alteration approval, then a low mark.
Alteration approval, then a low mark. So you have to get the alteration approval before you spend the low mark, because there you skip that step, so then you would end up in that situation, sending the property notification with the floodplain study template formatting, sorry, floodplain alteration format by the county, and then you do it again with the local. So you always have two. There's no. Okay, correct.
We have another topic we need to move on to.
So for the 10-year private road reserve fund, I noted that this was just going to be an update. So staff heard the concerns, we documented them in the minutes, and we're going to need some more time to go back and kind of filter it all in, but and chart a course. Zeb and Betsy, is there anything you want to add to the 10-year reserve fund update?
No, other than, you know, it became pretty apparent after last week's meeting that this may not be the best approach and that we were going to struggle to ever reach sort of consensus on how to use the reserve fund. And so we're going to take a step back and reevaluate a better
short-term and maybe long-term solution. And we don't have a lot of information to share beyond that, or we would, but whatever we come up with will certainly bring back to this group once we figure out. So if you have any suggestions,
yeah,
we'd love to hear them.
That was one of the
comments. And not on cost estimates and dollar amounts, on unique ideas to solve the language.
Yes. So this was done with an NRT item, or it was something RISPR related. There was an item in the zoning ordinance that was just wrong, and
it was DWRDCR, I think.
It's something along those lines, yeah. But it was about like
no disturbance.
Yeah, you couldn't really get it right.
Yeah.
So you guys, not you guys, but staff, NRT staff, I think wrote a
advisory.
No, they wrote a Z-Core or something.
No, we don't even administrators.
From the zoning administrator.
Which is something we're going to talk about.
Because I think we're all in agreement that there's the timing or something's off about the language in there. So could we get a zoning opinion to be in more of a favor and more of a line of what we're thinking is appropriate that we could then implement a policy on?
We tried that and we could not move the timing.
Well, we also struggled with what we were asking for. Like, that was very clear. I think it was that you can't, I think it was DWRDCR, and you can't do anything.
Right,
no,
DCR, right. That was very clear what the error was.
Right.
I think that's, so the zoning administrator, we went to her originally, that was part of it. And we may get back to a zoning determination that we can talk more about exactly what we're asking her to advise. Are we asking her to tell us what is I don't have the word in front of me now, but what is a sufficient reserve fund?
Establishment.
Are we asking her what establishment means? Are we asking her if the timing is right? Or are we asking her if she's willing to say that, and I don't think she's going to be willing to say this isn't valid.
I think the definition of establishment and fund are, and the acceptance of that is going to be dependent on the ability to essentially change the timing. And I think the heartworm at the timing is dependent on the
right.
definition of fund and establish.
And so what are we asking for her to give an advisory opinion of? I think that we've asked her and we've done all that research to try and figure out how we got from the 93 revised to the LCCO.
Right.
And nobody is left, it seems, who has any recollection of, you know, whether that was something intentionally done or inadvertently done. So I don't know what I'm asking. I think that's part of,
well,
of my challenge.
One question would be, we come up with the definition we want for what establishment means. Basically, like, whatever you guys have proposed, and then see if that's acceptable. So instead of, like, asking her to clarify what establishment is, we go and be like, we believe establishment just means somebody putting together a budget of how they plan on collecting it, not necessarily having the money, but by just simply having a plan is enough to consider it established. And then ask them if that's okay.
That's a possibility. We sort of did that.
Yes,
not exactly that way. We sort of asked, put this approach of collecting this money. We did not yet have the background to know that we were going to get stuck on, is it a seed money or is it a temporary that you get back once the HOA is established and contributing effectively to it. When we made the original ask, we had no idea that that was going to become one of the bigger questions we had. So, you know, her interpretation was that we could do this as a solution, that it, in her opinion, it didn't come back and tell us that it meant the meant.
We stopped short of formally asking her, in your opinion, does the reserve study meet the intent? We stopped short of that because we felt like when we said that out loud and laid it out, it was like, well, maybe we can do a awesome mathematical solution that just meets the face value of what's in there. And then we'll pass these other recommendations on. And now I've lost most of my hair trying to get it out.
So I think we're going to have a sit down. I think the first step, which is why we needed more time, is to sit down with both Dan and Teresa to kind of talk through and maybe even with the deputy county administrator to kind of talk through best approach. And then it very well could be Megan that the answer is. And I think, you know, Kevin spent all that time putting together his request of her for the quick fix, which may or may not come into that discussion as well. You know, maybe we take it out of quick fix and do it ourselves. I don't know. There's all kinds. So we're going to have that conversation.
I think it's
much like you all, we don't get meetings with them really, really quickly. So.
Why would you take out the quick fix if the terminology is still hard to interpret?
Because we haven't been told it will be accepted in the quick fix. And if we're getting into their interpretation and some of those things, I'm concerned of how that will fit in the quick fix, because our quick fix is to make it go away completely. And I'm not sure that they're, anyway, maybe it will, but that will be part of the conversation with them in this whole conversation.
I would push for this to be an opening of an account that has a budget and an end goal. And that is funded by like the actual HOA and the residents themselves. Because I think getting into what
this is all done already. It is the point we're trying to say. Yes. So why
just saying documenting that?
Yeah, document right. Of how this is established.
So like understanding that is sufficient for that.
I think the key word.
And the timing of when that.
And that's the conversation we're gonna start with. If you think once we've gone back and forth, but we've never sat down and said, okay, this is your problem to solve as much as it is ours. And we keep running up against a brick wall in right. trying to solve it. So we need your input and support in helping us solve it.
And I think we need to know what's the end goal here. Is it really to say, like, to have the county the ability to go into this fund and pull the money if it's needed?
So, and again, I don't think we're going to get that answer out of DPZ. We've tried for a long time. So
they're aware, they recall bonds already have under that area for a bit.
It is a very different discussion than bonds. Yeah. Bonds are a very, this has nothing to do with the bonding of improvements. The bonding of improvements says that you must build it to a standard and before it's a performance bond.
But it should be considered in a timing standpoint too.
Maybe. I think that is very relevant, but we can't hold the bonds for this maintenance piece. It's very clear that the bond is a very different document, but it may be very relevant in timing. And again, that's part of the, now that we've learned as much, I don't think the time we've spent, although Sam and Laura might disagree, has been really wasted, because it's taught us a lot of what we need resolved, whether it be by DPZ or the board, or I don't know, the planning, I don't know. And that's the conversation now with DPZ is, they don't have the answers either. When we went to them, when it started, they flat out said, we have no idea where it came from, and we don't know why it's there. And we've researched and we've listened to hearing minutes and we've gone back through all of our notes and it magically appeared.
I have a question. Couple questions. When we started this conversation, there was concern that site plans, other applications might be frozen in place until we address whatever protocol on the FSM. Is that the case? Are we running into that scenario? Because the reason I ask that is, if there's some internal way around that this plans can get through pending more formal determinations or whatever, maybe kind of ride with this. But if there are plans today that are potentially going to get frozen in place, my suggestion is that this committee come up with proposed language, and when it goes out through agency review, zoning's going to have to react to it.
So I completely agree, and that is part of the discussion, and it may include involving the county attorney's office. Is there some discretion that I may be able to have given to me, or that the zoning administrator may be able to have given to us to offer an option. Like, we can't demand that they do something that we don't really have clarified in the FSM as the solution to this, but we can potentially provide, and this is part of the discussion, and that's why we really couldn't have a meaningful discussion today. We haven't talked to the people who are, this is far now above beyond what this committee and or building and development can answer alone. But are there opportunities to say, okay, you can wait until we find a solution, or, and I say this completely tongue in cheek, so please don't, can you provide us $1 million that we'll hold until we resolve the issue and then you'll be free to go? At least I got it one chuckle.
They want $1 million.
I guess what I want clear for the record.
I don't know if I can, but I have the discretion to do that. So it will be a lot less than $1 million, I promise.
What I would like to have clear for the record is the question and the issue was brought to the FSM PRC to try to clear a problem.
Correct.
And I want it to be clear that we're not the stumbling block right now.
Yes.
And that if it is a crisis, I think this committee can come up with language and push it forward and it'll be rejected or approved. So.
But okay, when would you be providing us that language? That's what I would ask, because I'm dying.
Well, what I'm saying is we can do that if it's an issue that we must do today. But what I'm hearing is it's not.
I don't know if it is. And that's why we took a step back. Okay. And it was just a week since we last, in my mind, clearly reached sort of that stalemate that this was not, but we were starting to spin our wheels. We were definitely digging a hole in the mud.
Is there, okay, so I'm trying to recall. Angela, remind me, it's site plan approval or record plot approval. And we kept talking about last week subdivisions. I'm used to subdivisions being under the CPAP category, which would be the record plot. Is there a situation where you could just forever hold up a record plot that could cause issues?
Well, that's what resolved.
There are ones that are right there.
That's what Kevin just asked, and that is part of this discussion.
I'm not saying there are any existing. I'm just saying if we held up a record plat approval, does that risk them with any sort of other issue?
I don't
does
know.
That put them at,
I don't know. That's
about the name. That's an
issue. Well, yeah. I mean, it's clearly a financial issue. But I think what Megan's asking is, are there other regulatory challenges with that?
Well, because I mean, I guess
grandfathering
built the road with an LDA without a record plat approval.
You can.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're saying you can't start building houses
right
until the record plat.
You can't. You can't.
So
building permits.
Can't get a lot more permit now either.
Yeah.
Without.
So that's a pretty big deal then.
It's a huge deal, and we recognize that. That's why it became critical, and we really started pushing it. And like I said, after last week's meeting, Laura and Seth started doing some additional number crunching. And I'm like, I don't think number crunching is going to get us where we need to be anymore. The problems are deeper seated than that. And I don't want to be 4 months from now still debating, do we include overlay? Do we include the maintenance? Do we return? How does that look? I felt like, because of, I think Zeb was going to look at numbers, but probably hasn't had a chance yet, at how many we have right now sitting and waiting for this solution.
That's what I was going to say, Kevin. We're pulling data. They're scrambling.
No pressure. This has been very quick. But that is relevant to the discussion that we then have with DPZ and County Admin on a path forward. That includes, Kevin, that was part of our discussion internally. It absolutely has to include what discretionary authority either I have or the zoning administrator has to address the people who are ready to go before we have a solution. Clearly the board, from the grandfathering resolution of SOAR, which this is an issue of, gave us the authority to do things through TechMem to address that. But this is even a step deeper than that.
Yeah.
This would have to be a case by case, because I think the point was this was going to be the tech memo when we haven't gotten there. So if you have language that you think addresses that, Kevin, please share.
Okay, Angela?
Sorry, I was just going to add, I know we did the letters and the doc as like a potential solution. equipment, I still feel like that we collectively, this group said that makes sense to put some additional language in a declaration, leave it to the HOA, they're required by the declaration to abide. Does it involve the county, the HOA, you know, holding funds from the developer? It's their program that the developer has set up. I don't know. I just feel like can that move forward faster instead of.
So, not to speak for DTZ, but that is almost a policy decision that there was no intent for actual money to be exchanged by that language, that the language is sufficient. And in this phase one cleanup, as they're called again, they have, and it's to them, and they went to the board, to the ROYA, and asked for that input. So they have it, and I'll be sure to discuss it with them. But it was very clear that anything that might be considered policy was not going to be included in the solution. It was merely language oversight, conflict between two sections.
Not to be obstinate, but this seems like a language oversight, given that nobody can recall why.
Maybe they'll reach that decision. But I caution you that yes,
yeah.
That's
my guess. Yeah, so a typo or something.
Right.
Well,
it is. Right. Maybe it is.
Keep in mind, I wanted to add this when Betsy said it. Like Megan's saying, why pull it out of the quick fix? If it's not considered a quick fix, it could try faster with the quick fix. It's not the end of the world if it's a quick fix.
Was there a separate thing that you sent? Like, I saw the email or the letter that was exchanged about, like, I guess it was to Teresa Miller.
Yeah.
Correct.
Is there another?
No.
That's the thing you're referring to.
Yes.
That was considered like a long-term solution for the quick fix. Clean up the zoning ordinance.
Just put it in the current, I think it's OAM 2025-0001.
Okay.
Which is the first store clean.
And this is where you're saying we stopped short of asking, is a reserve study just enough to satisfy?
We stopped short before that. We had enough to get that. Remember in the beginning, we were saying we were going to go to her for a advisory opinion. That's where we stopped short on that. Came up with this new thing, which was provide her with some recommendations, start working this cost estimate to correlate something as an interim fix.
We
have not stopped short of that.
I wouldn't say we stopped short. And my characterization, I think, would be it was not within the scope of an advisory opinion. Like to say, well, current HOA reserve studies cover this, right? Right? Make a determination.
Yeah, it was.
We need a zoning ordinance amendment. I mean, it's not that we stopped short. We asked, can you issue an advisory opinion for this? Yeah, right. It can't.
But the letter that went to Teresa was more of the fine levied
long-term
solution of what we thought the intent of what the those HOAs did set up that fund as a more firm commitment.
Right.
Rather than see.
Got it. And that will be, like I said, we're trying to. I actually have my one-on-one with Dan tomorrow. I have a whole list of things, but I am putting this on his radar in particular. We are going to be setting up a meeting, and that really is pretty critical with his team. So I don't know if that meeting will happen next week or 2 weeks, but we will have that meeting, get some feedback, and either at the October meeting, hopefully, we'll have it. Then we'll have some topics for actual discussion or just an update on where we are.
So to summarize, I'll make sure the whole committee is in agreement with this. Kevin's letter, which outlined the long-term solution, is just the preferred solution.
It is. We need to know the answer to Kevin's first question. Our application's being held up today,
right?
And we need to know that very quickly. Because it's going to be a different answer if the answer to that is yes.
And can they get the ones that are being held up? Is there anything that can get it to an option that lets them get past it?
Yeah. You know, and then once we have the answer to that, I think we can react. Well, we can come up with language.
Right.
I mean, I could get creative with that and say, sufficient design engineer, appease my design engineer, you can say, well, the reserve fund of the HOA establishes sufficient.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe there's a way we could just recommend language and make a deny.
That's what I think. Cares.
Yeah.
In case. Now, Betsy's hands are tied. She can't, she doesn't get the flexibility that we're, you
know. Yeah, I mean, I guess other departments aren't willing to help. Like,
right.
Give Betsy the opportunity to, like, all right, this is what I've come with the committee. This is what we're doing.
And that's then, part of the discussion with Dan. If you'd like me to fix it, let me fix it. And that might be, as Laura stated, it might be an independent kind of information to the item to the board to make it very clear with recommendations that we control and drive. It says, you know, from revised 93, it said this. To the LCVO, it says this. We're unable to determine why or how that decision was made. And here are the challenges it's presenting. And option one is we go back to the revised 93. Option two is it's seed money. Option three, and we'll make a staff recommendation based on our discussions. Option three might be it's what you described, that we do it through language in the
option two.
Well, we're going to have to make a staff recommendation, so it doesn't matter what order you put that in. But if we're going to make a staff recommendation, it doesn't, and it really should be one, and is anyway. And I joked, option four is, okay, no more private roads anywhere in the county. And obviously that would be, you know, we used to joke in college, you know, you always put the bad paragraph in your
the worst option, the very end, so
right.
People have two
and just throw it in there so people think, oh my god, it's horrible. This is really good.
If we don't know where it came from, right, is it like clear that the county can like force this through a zoning ordinance, like require that money? Is that like a
I have no idea.
I actually answered this question because it's been percolating. You know, Betsy knows that it's been percolating. And Jason said it's in the zoning ordinance.
Right
now it's legal.
Well, I guess the question
is challenge or revoke.
Okay.
The question is, yes, it's legal. That's not the answer. We need to present an interpretation.
We don't submit financials that we've got enough money to build the road in the first place. I mean, obviously we bonded, but by 10 years, one out of 5 or one out of 100 or...
So I did, it's interesting. I did have a conversation with Jason about that, and his interpretation of that was really helpful. He said that 10 years just means a substantial amount.
I think we should put it
not even worth.
People buying a house should show their financials and show a plan so they can afford 10 years of HOA dues. Yeah, like, where's the end?
It says sufficient for maintenance, and it's up to the design engineer. It's very explicit. Design engineer says, I've seen this, observe stuff.
At site plan, there is no residence.
And they can set a dollar here. And you can say, I've reviewed them, observed, study in their policy in the HOA. My concern is they don't need to contribute any.
Or they'll contribute as needed along with it.
Yeah, I just propose that they have a plan to contribute.
Can I ask a question? I don't even know if legal or if the county can do this. On our bond estimates, everyone talks about how this reserve set up before your bond is released. And I know it does say site plans, but could we essentially put like a $30,000 increase on bond estimate that says reserve fund creation, reserve fund, but that essentially if you bond something, that's as good as saying it's going to be done, essentially the county's. And then at time of bond release, prove that, yep, HOA talks say it's there. Now it's a small increase on the bond amount. Not great, but much better to put the seed money in. But then what I don't know is, does the county have rights to pull that bond if that is not done?
That's not something
that's the problem.
No, I don't think we do. I mean, we can ask legal, but I don't. The bonds are very clearly performance driven, and the language in the agreement talks about it being a lack of performance, which is very different than a maintenance fund.
But it can be years before that road is given to the HOA. So I guess it's kind of pointless. Like for 3 years, it's not going to be maintained by the HOA, but you're going to require money for the first 3 years.
That's a big part of the discussion. Is, you know, does it make sense for that 10 years to start at plat recordation? Because the road may not even start construction for 3 years after that. And depending on the type of project it is
how many lots
and how you know, again, if it's a row of townhouses, those usually sell in one, you know, they don't build it until they have.
But there's six at a time.
But are there still subdivisions that are built where there might be five or six lots that a developer goes in and builds the road, or a mom and pop go in and build the road, and the family subdivision, in a year they start selling off lots, or 2 years or whatever the regulations allow, but it takes 5 years to sell those six lots, and then years after that for the people who bought them to build. So the road's there, but it's not even being used and clearly not being maintained. Is not well, being said is that the that, developers, so these are all questions that this brings to light, but I don't think it was intended to. I think that's a private road discussion, which is very different discussion that may or may not happen sometime, you know, and I think, again, that's a very different private road discussion than somebody brought up previously, townhouses. That's a very different private road than a single cul-de-sac.
So. Wait, I want to clarify though, like, because of how expensive things are for a small subdivision, it's really not advantageous to just build infrastructure and not also build homes. Like, people are building the infrastructure are making their money on the house being built. So the frequency of that situation, it's just not like what it used to be, where people actually developed lots and sold lots.
And I think that is also great fodder for the private road discussion, not necessarily, but maybe both. So I think, Megan, I agree. There is so, I think we've had this discussion. We are sitting here trying to solve a problem that we don't know what it is. We don't know what the intent of this change was. And once we find that out, the solution may be very quick. It may be that it was a situation that doesn't really exist in the land development world anymore. We're not building those kind of subdivisions. It may be somebody added the language because they had their own personal vengeance against private roads. Who knows? And you know, when the ZOR went through, there's no way the planning commission or the board really read every single proposed change. And that's why one of the directions I've been given, not on this topic, but on a couple, was if we don't believe the board consciously made a decision one way or another as a part of a bigger effort, that we should go back and get them to specifically know what the issue is and make a policy decision that we can then move forward pretty quickly.
It's fine, as long as it's not delayed site plans. So that change in policy will take a period of time to run through the legislative process. So,
correct. Okay. So outside my control.
I know. If we need our own quick fix, we can do that. And it'll either be approved or disapproved, but I think we need to be prepared.
That was the intent of the discussions we've had.
It was.
And so wait a minute. I think, let's see what there's a nuance here. Because I think what I hear Kevin and Derek saying are, what if they just have their design engineer submit an amount to Zeb's project manager? And in the interim, can his project manager just approve that?
Well, and that's
at the interim.
And that is the authority.
It's just you're saying, okay, thanks, and you're checking the box, and you're moving on.
But somebody, and you're setting a precedent, I think, and that's the answer we have to get from attorney and zoning, because that is part of the discussion.
Not suggesting be zero, because the design engineer would say, well, they have an HOA, they're going to collect dues, why would they contribute?
So in answer to that, I don't know.
And at the end of our bond period, we have to walk the HOA, get them to accept everything at that moment in time, too. At the time, they're fully occupied as well. So it gives them more, you know.
And we are, that is the hope of this whole long discussion, right? The attorney's office and DPP kind of talk through paths forward that, you know, we thought we had a couple of different times, but I don't know. I guess I took that big leap. Does everybody else agree that the conversations we had last week and the time before that were not going to lead us to a agreed upon solution? There were too many unknowns.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I just didn't want to waste anybody's time anymore.
I mean, yeah, appreciate, you know, staff and stuff of listening to the concerns. Trying to find a way to make sure it's fair.
Yep.
What we're doing now is working and how we change it. Yeah.
We've always talked about residential subdivisions being a concern, but we've got private roads on our business parks that we own, maintain, and in our mind, it's no different than keeping our parking lot in good condition.
I agree.
Our tenants. And so in that respect, it's like, what's the difference between private road versus other, you know, common area elements?
I think the difference is single ownership.
Yeah.
Versus multiple.
Like, yeah, but I mean, this, you know, applies to all private roads. I mean, it obviously makes it easier for us to figure out, you know, we're not trying to sell individual lots, but it's like, we're going to own this for, you know, that's just our model. We own it forever. Why do we need to post some? Why do we need to show the fund at the beginning? Like, it's our responsibility to begin with.
And I think that was the other thing I found from the several conversations we had on establishing this, is that the circumstances around commercial private roads,
yeah.
Two over two private roads,
sure.
Alley private roads are all different.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in, you know, a subdivision that is well established and you're just the next section,
yep.
It's a very different question than then just starting whatever side. So all of those things, the path we were going down, I don't think there was one good answer, because all of those situations presented different challenges to a problem we don't really know we even have.
What scenario would you be for a site plan that has a private road that's being held up? Like, aren't those roads under CFAPs?
No.
Oh, those can they site plans?
Yes, they have to site plans.
So I have a suggestion.
Which is 90% of our new residential between two over two is considered multifamily. All of our affordable housing is considered.
In a high density area like that, as was said earlier, we don't final top those until everything's built out 100%. And by then, you've already got the HOA people paying dues.
We're preaching to the same choir.
It's Seth's birthday.
So it seems like you need to go back on the issue.
It's on LinkedIn, my guy.
We have two. It's Ryan Sauter's birthday today, too.
Wow.
Ryan's older than Seth, though.
That's it. My request as part of this process is, you had many examples by Derek and Angela, probably others, that there is a process that works. There's a certain point. The gap right now is between site plan approval to when that process starts, right? And that essentially is the gap in zoning ordinance to create that issue. So my suggestion is, how do we set up something through agreement, something that once they prove that, yep, here is this fund in place at time of first occupancy, you said you've met your obligation, whatever agreement's now for me.
So
that's the gap I think we need to be talking about, not holding something for 10 years.
So I'm hopeful that after we get some direction from the attorney and DPZ on how best to approach this, we're back here with that kind of discussion at a much higher level to say, here's what we really think makes sense to recommend to the board or DPZ or whoever we're recommending it to. And I think that's really, really relevant, is, you know, here's the gap, or, you know, here's being for agreement, timing, you know, things that wouldn't really change policy, but would get us to. So we're not going to make those recommendations. If it is a board action item in the future sometime, we're not going to make those recommendations without having a lot of discussion on what those three or four options that we would put then are and the order of them. Not to say I'll agree with you and do it. No. So thank you. I think we've through the course of the last few months, gotten most of your input on what the concerns are that we will share in our discussions with the other departments. And I'm really hopeful we'll get to a point where we can come back in the October and have some meaningful conversations about next steps. But thank you for your patience.
Well, thank you.
Including Kevin, what we do with that. And like I said, that is trying to identify how many of those we have and whether they're commercial or, section 19 of One Loudoun.
Yeah, hearing its status so you know how close we are.
Yeah.
Right, but so what are you doing? You're just tagging where this could apply?
No, these are applications currently in.
Well, that's right, but yes. But my next point is, I'm assuming this has not been raised from a review standpoint yet. I need this to improve your plan.
Yeah.
Good comments.
Started.
You have comments. Okay.
So we tried to catch up on those. We're going to check now and see, just how many private roads we've got, where they're at.
Who's that? I don't remember the
Randy.
Mr. FSM himself.
Crazy.
I'm trying to flag them as they were coming in. Okay. Yeah. I noticed there was a private road saying advise them that this is going on.
That will help inform Kevin, the urgency of your concerns. So we've already started, and of course Landmark does a lot of things great, but private road identification is not one of the triggers we had in there.
Right. Do you have anything else? Any other committee members have any topics of interest? Got it down. All right, we're adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. I really, again, appreciate it.